Good morning. You are listening to Guild Investment Management's Global and U.S. Market Podcast. Today is March 9th, 2018. Today on our podcast, we have our Chief Investment Officer and Founder, Monte Guild.
Hello, everyone. U.S. and global markets have been in the news quite a bit as a result of many economic and political events taking place around the world. We all know that the stock market had a disappointing February in the U.S. and actually worldwide after a seemingly relentless and exuberant January. Now into February, what we see is that we've had a 1-10% correction, a rally back of about half or 60% of that correction, then a new decline taking us down another few percent, and now a new rally back. Pretty soon, we will be at the old highs that we have seen earlier in the year, and we anticipate this market will continue as it has in the past 2 months, choppy and volatile, but moving higher throughout 2018. Those of you that are with stockbrokers, now called financial advisors or wealth managers, or with professional investment managers like us, will be well advised to stay the course and not panic during these market volatile periods. These market volatile periods will occur further throughout the year, but we anticipate that the market will end the year substantially higher than it began. When the market experiences a correction, people want to know, why is this happening? Is it the big one or a temporary setback? The first correction we had at the end of January and into early February was normal and natural after a massive run-up in 2017 and some parts of the latter part of 2016. The second correction was a typical test that we often get, and we could have further tests back toward that old low of early February. I'm sorry, of mid-February. However, we have to keep in mind that the economic backdrop is extremely positive in the U.S. and in the world, with 4% GDP growth in the world and probably more like 3% plus GDP growth in a very large economy, the world's largest, the United States, would be the fastest growth rate in many years in the United States. What is driving this? Excellent economic growth around the world, which is creating demand for goods and services from the U.S. and from the rest of the world. We understand the primary motivation of most companies, media companies, especially in the internet age, is secure the attention of viewers, listeners, and readers so they can generate more advertising revenue. Let me assure you, the media has grossly exaggerated. The written media, the TV media, other print media, the internet media has all grossly exaggerated the problems that this tariff, so-called trade war, will create, and that the North Korean situation was going to create. In addition, they have painted a very ugly picture about what's going on with the economy and with the tax bill. The tax bill will be extremely positive for the average American. The average American family will get back $1,500 to $2,000 in lower taxes this year. That will be salutary for consumer spending. That will be salutary for economic confidence. That will be salutary for economic growth. That will be good for corporations who can buy back stock and who can raise their dividends, who will employ more people. Wages are rising at a rapid rate, and many people, last month, 803,000 people who had previously been out of the workforce plan to come back into the workforce. This is huge. Many people were sitting on their couch collecting disability or long-term unemployment insurance or other social programs, and now we'll be entering the workforce. Especially at the low paid level of the workforce, new people with lesser skills are coming into the workforce, getting trained in greater skills. A very positive thing for the outlook for the economic base in the United States for coming weeks, months, and years. At Guild, we know that everything in the news has always been full of exaggeration, so we don't react too much to it. But let me say the first thing is about the tariffs. These tariffs are symbolic and political. They're being put on by Mr. Trump because he has to fight election in Pennsylvania soon. He has to fight midterm elections for the Republican Party in November. He wants to appeal to his base, much of which is blue collar and formerly were Democrats and have moved to the Republican Party and want to know that something is being done to secure their livelihood, their cash flow, and their jobs. Mr. Trump is making political decision doing these things. We're not praising or demeaning Mr. Trump. We're just explaining what's going on. We believe the tax bill will be very good for the stock market. We believe these tariff talks have scared the market and created a correction, and that correction will soon end, and stocks will start moving to new all-time highs again. We think that militarily standing up to North Korea's bullying tactics with our own bullying tactics will create them coming to the table to talk. Whether anything comes out of that or not, we have no idea, and nobody really knows. But it's the first time in many, many years, since mid-90s, I believe, that any leader of North Korea has come up and spoken to an American president. We think trade wars are not likely, and they are a leverage point to get the people in NATO to pay their fair share of NATO. Many NATO countries have been letting us subsidize their defense for 30 years. Many of them owe billions. They're now starting to pay that back. North Korea is coming to the negotiating table. It is understood that the U.S. will not be cheated in trade as it has been nonstop for 50 years under every president for 50 years. Now, this doesn't mean that we're going to create trade wars by doing this. Mr. Trump has shown that he's willing to both make strong statements and then negotiate more reasonable outcomes. This is what he's done on the tax bill. This is what he did in negotiating with with North Korea and with NATO. This is what he's doing on tariffs. So we should just understand Mr. Trump's policy of negotiation, talk tough and wave a big stick at the beginning, and then back off and come to a moderate, middle of the ground solution in the end. We strongly believe that the Chinese, as well as others whose prosperity depends on keeping trade open with the U.S., will ultimately be very content to address U.S. demands, which are relatively minor thus far. The U.S. has the world's biggest trade deficit, and most countries in the world have a huge trade surplus with the United States. It makes no sense for them to shoot themselves in the foot by doing more than talking about raising tariffs on the United States. There are a few countries where we have a trade surplus. Some of them are our allies, like Canada and Australia. In those cases, we will do nothing to shoot those people, hurt those people. We had a big trade deficit with Canada until recently, when we began to produce more oil in the United States. As the U.S. has become more energy self-sufficient, our trade deficit with Canada turned into a trade surplus. This is another example of how economic growth impacts the United States positively and everyone else positively as well. If objective analysis of the data begins to tell us otherwise, it begins to look like a damaging trade war is really starting to develop, then we may revise our view. But that view has not yet occurred. So what I'm saying here is the current correction, like all others we've had during the bull market that turned 9 this month, is normal, natural, and healthy. Markets have become more volatile and are likely to remain so. Still, the objective data continue to suggest that a recession is not imminent, and therefore that corrections will provide buying opportunities. As it stands, a global trade war does not seem actually to be in the offing. Take the news with a grain of salt and look for bargains in stocks on market corrections. What do we think about other parts of the world beside the United States? Well, about Europe, we're not optimistic. We remain unimpressed with the opportunities in Europe, and we're concerned that political interest in economic growth and an increase in prosperity is not high in the European mindset. Redistribution of what they have is a more common political talking point within Europe. We would rather look to Asia for opportunities for investment growth and investment opportunity. Asia and emerging markets. Within Asia, we like India and China. They're both growing above 6.5%. Japan, although growing more slowly, continues to buy bonds and stocks to stimulate its economy. If the yen goes up versus the dollar, the Japanese market will not do well. If it goes down versus the dollar, the Japanese market will do well. Also, smaller countries in Asia like Vietnam, Korea, and Thailand look good to us. Gold, you can't count gold out. It breaks below technical support and then rallies back to its long-term training range. And in cryptocurrencies, we continue to monitor that area. More regulation is coming in on a global basis. It's becoming more difficult to make money in cryptocurrencies as they become more regulated. Stay tuned and listen to our podcast in future weeks, and we will be happy to share with you all our insights. Thanks for listening. And here's Tim.
Thank you for listening. And if you like what you heard, please make sure to subscribe to our podcast and visit our website, www.guildinvestment.com, where you can get weekly email updates and also sign up for our email updates. In addition, you can find us on YouTube. Please visit our YouTube channel and you can subscribe there, as well as LinkedIn and Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have a wonderful weekend.